WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. My name is Arthur. It's the 22nd of November, 2023. I'm just going to be cutting the proverbial fruitcake here this morning for Thanksgiving. I'm going to start things off with a Jeff Reagan, private investigator. This was a Jack Webb program. I believe it was before Dragnet. I'm unsure. I'm unsure if I played this or not, because I missed this particular show last year, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and I'm pretty sure I might have had it queued up, but I'm not. I've listened to so many of these, I forget what I've played and what I've just listened to. So anyway, this is Jeff Reagan, The Pilgrim's Progress. This had an original air date of the 20th of November, 1948. Thanks.
Wilder presents the Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kern, Jerry Hauser, Hans Conried.
My apologies. I'm having some technical difficulties this morning. Thanks.
My name's Regan. I get 10 a day and expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, the Lion's Eye, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Pilgrim's Progress.
The Cosmopolitan Building, 7th Street near Olive, downtown L.A., a mess of granite thrown together by an architect who must have taken his degree on the rock pile at Leavenworth. It's up on the third floor, room 308, right next to a credit dentist who shares his office with a collection agency. On the other side, there's a school for models, and the Lion's got sore eyes trying to see through that cloudy glass. International Detective Bureau, Anthony J. Lyon, president. He's also vice president, secretary, treasurer. I work for him. Well, the office isn't much, but there's enough elbow room for a client to write a check. I went to the office Friday night about 5:20, answering the Lion's call. He was sitting behind the desk, sucking on a quarter cigar. He looked real pleased, like a fat lady locked in a cream puff factory.
Man I know had a baby. Plumber named Broman or Groman or something like that.
Mazel tov.
Cancel any arrangements you got for the night. I got something for you to do. Got your car?
It's in the lot.
Gas it up. You're taking a trip.
Where to?
Calabasas. A man wants to see you.
I got no friends out there.
Friend of mine, named Hendricks. He counts his money with an adding machine, and his finger's always swollen.
What's the problem?
I don't know. He didn't say. He just called and told me to send out a man.
How much did he give you for a retainer?
When an important man like Hendricks calls, you don't insult him by asking for money.
Oh, stop it, will you? You're the kind of guy who'd steal pennies out of parking meters.
That's enough, Regan.
If one of them turned up empty, you'd sue the city.
Here's the Hendricks address. Now get out there.
All right.
Now, Regan.
Yeah?
Remember, do a good job and I'll give you Thanksgiving off. And I'll pay you.
With what, cranberries? Well, I headed out Beverly and then up through Hollywood. You know, it's only November, but Santa Claus is breaking out all over the boulevard. I fought my way over Cahuenga Pass, and by the time I was dodging station wagons on Ventura, it was dark. Calabasas is a place with a couple of service stations, a hot dog stand, and a few road signs full of buckshot. The Hendricks place turned out to be about 5 miles down a road that the Indians built for hauling firewater. I guess they couldn't keep the cork in. But the house itself was strictly prohibition stuff. A big pile of slate roof and leaded windows. It looked dark and lonesome. I figured somebody had their holidays mixed.
Hiya, Pilgrim!
It was a big fat guy. He was holding a 6-foot gun in the shape of a straightened out tuba. He came closer and I could see his hat. It was a high one with a buckle on it. He was dressed in black and he had buckles all over him. I figured that I'd been eating too much Quaker oats.
What's the matter, Pilgrim? A little shooting make you nervous?
That's a big gun, there.
Shoots musket balls. Good for Indians.
Well, I'm no Indian.
Oh, I wasn't aiming at you.
Well, that gun wouldn't know the difference.
It's a blunderbuss. Great weapon.
Is it?
I show you. Here you prop her up on a crutch.
Just keep fooling with that thing, and we'll both need one.
Shh, Hoss, be quiet. Load the barrel with lots of powder.
Look, why don't you give that thing back to the museum?
He does it. It's more powder. Gotta use lots of this black powder.
But well, here you need black coffee. Come on, give me that thing before it blows up in your face. You broke a window.
Oh, it's all right. It was only the attic.
You live here?
Of course not, Pilgrim. I'm Miles Standish.
Well, where's the rest of the party?
All inside, talking to John Olden.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Oh, you just think I'm kidding, don't you? Pilgrim, you just haven't got the Mayflower spirit.
No, you drank it all.
It's just cider. Nothing better on a cold New England night.
Thanksgiving's not for a week. Come on, get off it.
Hark.
What's the matter?
Hey,
put that down.
I'm not going to shoot him. He's a friendly type.
Brother Regan?
Yeah?
If thou wilt follow me, please.
Oh, you too, huh?
I beg your pardon.
Okay, okay.
Well, so long, Pilgrim.
Yeah, keep your powder dry, Standy.
I'll see you on Plymouth Rock.
Okay, this way, Brother Regan.
Now, look, Sunshine, you work here.
My name is Phelps.
Why don't you lock that guy up?
I'd be outnumbered, sir. 21, Pilgrim.
Bad winter. They make you wear those corduroy knickers?
Knee breeches, sir. It was Priscilla's idea.
You need a union.
I need more shapely legs. Through here.
Well, it's quite a place you got.
Well, it's better without the decorations, sir.
Yeah. How do you keep from stepping on these pumpkins?
It's only when they use them for bowling that it's difficult.
Come on, fill me in. What's this all about?
Thanksgiving, sir. 1621. Okay, this room here, sir. Go right in.
Okay.
Shut the door. Shut it.
Mr. Hendricks around?
He's not here. Come over, sit down.
Who are you, Priscilla?
Don't. Please don't say another word of that silly rigmarole or I'll start screaming.
Yeah, well, I could use a little yell myself.
I'm Agnes. I'm Mrs. Hendricks. Or Agnes.
It doesn't make any difference.
Start to my friends. Didn't I say sit down?
Yes, you did, and I didn't. So you don't like the party, huh?
I'm not much of a Puritan, Mr. Regan.
Well, that Great Dane says the masquerade was your idea.
Oh, Phelps is stupid. This goes on all weekend, Mr. Regan. It's called a turkey shoot.
Oh, so that's it. Who gets the bird?
The Pilgrim Fathers, my husband's friends. They ought to be shot, every one of them.
Yeah, well, I'm not from the SPCA.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Regan. I like you.
That's not the point.
I won't bore you.
Your husband might.
Him. He's crazy, Mr. Regan. Crazy as the things he does. Shooting, drinking, spending money.
A hard life.
I don't know how I stood it for as long as I have. My lawyer says I'm the most patient woman in the world.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the conversation, Ms. Hendricks.
Why did my husband send for you?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You do know. Tell me.
I don't know.
Please. You don't realize what kind of a man my husband can be.
I never met him.
You don't know how much I need help. How lonely I am.
Well, where is he?
I'll tell you if you promise to come back to me.
No, I'll write you a letter.
He's out in the shed, other side of the patio.
Thanks.
I wouldn't act this way if I weren't so frightened. You don't know what it is to be frightened all the time.
No, but I'm learning.
I wish you'd stick around, Mr. Regan.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Hendricks, but the pin feathers are a little sharp. Mrs. Hendricks went back to her worrying, and I wound my way through the house looking for the back entrance. My legs got tired before it finally showed on the other side of the pantry. It poured out into a flagstone patio as big as the Palladium. A walk took me to a shed. It was a two-story redwood place that must have made a loud noise on the cash register, and alongside, fenced in with chicken wire, was a whole population of turkeys. Well, I went into the shed. A little round-faced guy with pink skin was leaning over a barrel of cider. He wore a blue silk smoking jacket with gold initials EH on the pocket. When he caught my footsteps, his head bobbed up and he gave me a deep look like he was trying to see the back of my eyeball.
Yes?
I'm Regan, International Detective Bureau.
Oh, I've been expecting you. I'm Hendricks.
Yeah, I know. Why the fireworks?
Huh? Oh! Miles Standish. Just having fun. It's a party, you know. Big party we're having here.
Yeah, well, the neighbors will complain.
Ah, neighbors. None for miles around. That's why I like it out here. Have trouble finding me?
You ought to put up signs.
Signs? Glass of cider, Regan? Carefully. Please.
I'm not thirsty.
Yeah. That's not what it's for. Strong kind. Oh, go on. Thanksgiving soon. Get the spirit.
No, I can hold out till Thursday.
Suit yourself. Excuse me. Yeah. There's going to be quite a party here, you know.
Your wife's got a different version.
Oh, you spoke to her?
Yeah.
You were told to come out here to see me?
I got sidetracked.
It's not good for a man in your position.
All right, Hendricks, why am I here?
What'd she say to you?
I forgot.
Regan, you're making me angry.
Now, look, mister, you didn't get me out here to make a pilgrim out of me.
No, no, of course not. Fine woman, Mrs. Hendricks. We've been married for years, you know, happily. Fine, fine little woman. Just she makes me a little nervous at times.
Mm-hmm. You like the sound of guns going off?
She shouldn't get so excited. Boys just having little fun. It's only once a year. What's wrong with that?
Come on now, what's the job?
Didn't the lion tell you?
He said you would.
Oh, well, nothing to be so mysterious about. I've just got a package I want you to take to. Here it is. A turkey.
You got me all the way out here to play escort to that bird?
Well, I just want to be friendly. Here. Now, go on, go on, go on. It's a long way back to L.A. And you want to be there for Thanksgiving.
What's the difference? I got the turkey. I can celebrate any time. 60 miles to do a delivery job bird. Well, I wandered back to my car and I listened to the crickets and the gunshots try to outdo each other. And then I dumped the turkey into the back seat and I started the car down the drive. I just zoned it around the bend when the headlights caught a pair of buckle shoes and black knee breeches. Miles Standish was lying face down in the dirt and with a wet shine on his side. He was breathing hard. Blunderbuss was lying beside him and I figured that he blew out the wrong end. I would have gone for the Hendricks phone and the doctor, but I got a good look at the holes in him and I headed for a hospital instead. The blunderbuss may have been kicking up a fuss, but the holes in Miles Standish were 20th century, about the size of a 32. Well, I turned him over to an emergency hospital, and I put a call into the sheriff's office. I gave the story to Lieutenant Robinson, and then I headed back toward town. At the Lion's place, the lights were still on, so I figured he didn't have company. I rapped on the door, and he flung it open before the echo could die away. He had a carving knife in one hand, and he was wearing an apron. His eyes were big and he had an eager look like a college couple on Mulholland Drive.
Regan, you're back.
Oh, now that takes a big brain.
I've been waiting for you. You know I had a chance to go to a classy party tonight. Russian caviar and champagne and favors to all the guests. Know why I didn't go?
You lost your crash suit, huh?
I said to myself, is it fair to go out and have a good time while my employee is working real hard for International Detective?
The answer came out yes, but the party was called off.
Well, as a matter of fact, it was. But I wouldn't have gone anyway. Where is it?
Where's what?
The package from Hendricks.
Now, you can change your plans, big shot. You're getting a bundle of trouble instead.
What do you mean?
Turkeys aren't the only thing they're knocking off out on that ranch.
Huh?
Somebody's handy with a .32 and he's found a target.
You've been drinking?
Check the county emergency hospital. They'll show you the holes.
I send you out on a simple little job and you come back with a crazy story about a shooting. You're out of your mind.
Now listen, you, there's a big smell out in Calabasas.
What about my turkey?
The sheriff's office is going to have a lot of questions. You got the answers?
I don't know anything. I was miles away.
Well, then find out something. Check into the guy who shot. Find out who he is, what he does, and what he was doing out at Hendricks.
Where are you going?
To scratch around in the Hendricks closet. They tell different stories about their wedded bliss.
Hey, Regan.
Yeah?
Where's my turkey?
It's too rich for your blood, fatso. Stick to chicken. Well, I left him standing there with his apron hanging out. Miles Standish might get enough wind to do that extra hole to say who shot him, but more likely not. Anyway, with the bucket load he had, he would have sworn it was the last of the Mohicans. But there was an angle to that Hendricks woman, even if it didn't show. So I walked up the street to where my car was nuzzling a lamppost. The turkey and I were just going to wake up a newspaper office, only something changed my mind. A newspaper. It was wrapped around a bundle, and the bundle was under a guy's arm, and the arm was shutting the door of my car. Now, good evening, Pop.
Hi.
Going somewhere?
Sure. Find a place to sleep, that's all.
Want a cigarette?
Say, I don't mind if I do. Thought you was a bull for a minute. You mind if I take two?
No, help yourself.
My brother smokes, too. And not much in the streets these days.
Yeah, it's bad all over.
Yeah, something ought to be done.
No, stick around, Pop.
No, sonny. You give me smokes. I don't hit you for cash. It's a rule I got.
I'll make the touch.
Is that?
That's in the newspaper.
Russia.
Inside.
A funny paper.
Yeah, sure.
Well, now take it easy, boss. The guy's got a right to his privacy.
You weren't sleeping in my car.
Oh, so that's it. Yours, huh? Small world, ain't it?
Yeah, come on, let's unwrap.
Now, it's Thanksgiving, Mac. Ain't you heard of Thanksgiving?
I'm going to plug my ears. Give.
Now, please, Mac, show me the spirit. Once in my life, both drumsticks.
Huh? Stop it. You're breaking my heart.
I mean it, Mac. Let me have it. I'll break the wishbone for you, sonny. I will. You ain't got no use for all that meat, have you? Oh, you have, huh? Well, so long, Mac.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold it.
No, let go of my arm.
That was a pretty dance, but you should have changed your shoes.
What's that?
You didn't get those buckles in the bread line.
Oh.
Now, come on. Change the record. Who are you?
That's none of your business. Let go.
I said talk.
I will not.
You're from the Hendricks place, aren't you? You're from the...
Thank you, Phelps.
That's all right. Got the bird?
Sure. Let's go.
Yeah. Nighty night, Pilgrim.
The Pilgrim's Progress, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. Commissions are still available in the Army Nurse Corps. Graduate registered nurses between the ages of 21 and 45 may qualify for service with this fine organization. If you are interested in joining the Army Nurse Corps and believe you qualify for a commission, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now, back to Jeff Regan, investigator, and the story of the Pilgrim's Progress.
Well, none of it made sense. The lion sent me out to pick up a turkey on the Hendricks Ranch in Calabasas, and the Mr. and Mrs. were having an old-fashioned turkey shoot, and all the guests carried blunderbusses and dressed like pilgrims. Only it wasn't just the turkeys who were acting as targets. One of the pilgrims ended up with some .32 caliber holes in them. And then the Hendricks lackey and a buddy shoved a gun at me and stole the lion's bird. Well, I picked myself up and I went home. A heavy man was doing a heist job on my icebox. He was pouring himself a glass of milk to wash down a sandwich he was munching on.
Hi, Regan.
Go right ahead. Help yourself.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't know how long I was going to have to wait, and I was getting hungry.
There's a restaurant just up the block.
I like it better this way, homemade. Fish you a sandwich? Pretty good deviled ham.
Come on, let's close the box and open your mouth, buddy.
Why not? We had a date, remember? Robinson, sheriff's office.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You don't mind me coming in like this, do you?
What if I did?
I'd leave. Sanctity of the home, you know. You can throw me out even though I got a badge.
Let's cut away the fat, mister. What do you want?
Answers to a couple of questions. What were you doing at the Hendricks place?
Picking up a turkey?
Well, that's a new one.
Now, look, you ask him. I'll answer him. Never mind the feature page.
How long have you known the Hendricks?
Never met him before.
Wrong answer.
What do you mean?
We found this out at the Hendricks house. A page torn out of the yellow directory with a red circle around international detective.
Now, that doesn't say a thing.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm still scratching around.
It'll ruin your manicure.
You know, Regan, you don't seem to realize the seriousness of this. That pilgrim you dragged in died.
Well, I figured.
We don't like unsolved murders messing up our record books.
Well, then you're wasting your time here.
I got lots of it. I don't come up for pension for 12 more years. What was that pilgrim's name?
He gave me Miles Standish.
Sounds like a fake.
Well, don't count on it. I once knew a John Smith.
Give me the real name.
I don't have it.
All right. He's not a town boy, but we'll track him down. Now, straighten out something for me, Regan. How long did you say you knew the Hendricks?
But look, I gave this to you once. Nothing's changed.
How come we find a $5,000 check in that joker's pocket made out of cash and signed by Hendricks? Go ahead, answer. Just don't make a date. You may not be available.
Yeah?
Mr. Regan, this is Mrs. Hendricks. I must see you right away.
Who did you say?
Mrs. Hendricks, you remember?
Charlie? No, there's no Charlie here. You must have the wrong number.
Sort of annoying, isn't it, Regan, when you get a wrong number late at night?
Well, it happens.
Sure it does. Happened to me once.
Anything else you want?
Another deviled ham sandwich?
Kitchen's closed.
Pretty rotten hospitality.
Well, you weren't asked.
Okay, I gotta move anyway. See you later, Regan. Keep the mud off your shoes.
E-R-3-4-0-8.
Hello?
Mrs. Hendricks, this is Regan.
I just called you.
Well, I couldn't talk. What do you want?
Can you come out, Mr. Regan? Right away.
You're still lonely?
Things aren't going well.
No, murder's like that.
I've got to talk to somebody. Won't you please come?
Give me a reason.
I can tell you some things now I couldn't mention before.
Like why your husband wrote a $5,000 check to the dead man?
Check? But there must be some mistake.
What do you mean?
My husband couldn't write a check that large. He doesn't have any money of his own. It's all in my name.
All right. Put a lantern in the window, lady. I'll need some light. Well, I headed out there fast. But when I raised a racket with a brass knocker, nothing happened. I tried a window, and a couple of scratches later, I was in the hall. The place looked empty, like the Rose Bowl on January 2nd. I found Ms. Hendricks' room, where I talked to her and stepped inside. The decorations were different.
Sheriff's office. Robinson.
This is Regan. I got something for you.
It better be good.
You're going into overtime.
What do you mean?
Bring some boys out to the Hendricks place with a wet rag. Somebody blew out Mr. Hendricks' fuse. Well, I backed out of the room and I made it to the bar trying to turn up a bottle. In the corner, something else turned up instead. Another dead body. The turkey Phelps and his buddy had stolen from me. Somebody real eager had done a carving job on it before it was even cooked. They'd torn it apart like they were looking for something. Well, it was morning before the sheriff's boys cleaned up the Hendricks mess when we got back to town. Robinson had a few more questions, but I was still short on the answers. Ballistics had one, though. Same gun did the job on both Miles Standish and Hendricks. That's all. Homicide was getting places in a hurry, like a snail hauling a piano. Well, the lion was waiting for me outside the sheriff's office, and he pulled me to the side. His eyes were lit up like a pinball machine, and you could tell he'd caught the scent of a greenback.
They tricked you okay, Regan?
Good enough.
No rough stuff?
Well, nothing that shows, no.
Regan, we're in luck. I've been turning up things. We've been playing the wrong horse.
Well, that figures you're good at picking losers.
Hendricks is a piker, a social climber.
He's a dead one.
I'll send him flowers, but I'm telling you, he could only write checks for 5 G's.
With a big bounce.
Somebody else in this thing can write bigger ones.
Well, let me guess who.
Mrs. Hendricks, that's who. I tell you, Regan, it pays to keep up your connection.
How high can she go?
The sky is below sea level.
What else you got?
Standish is a phony moniker.
That's grammar school.
Real name Jeffrey Kelly, age 42. He's a wholesale jeweler. He had a little business with Mrs. H. $250,000 worth.
That's going to run up his taxes.
He can handle it.
What did he do for her?
I drew a blank, but he deposited her certified check at the bank yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm. How does Phelps figure?
I don't know.
Well, who's the little man in the big overcoat?
I can't do everything. You gotta do some work, too.
Yeah, sure.
Now, find Mrs. Hendricks. Offer her the services of international detective at our usual nominal rate. But don't underplay it. Now, get busy.
Where are you going?
Home to bed. A man's gotta get some sleep.
Well, the time was ticking out, but the game wasn't over yet. We figured to have a fast finish, and the Lion had a pretty good idea about catching some shut-eye. So I moved for the office and a stretch out on the couch. But through the glass, I could see there was a light on. Company was inside.
Crestview 2045. Phelps, no luck. I looked all over. I told you, I saw the place apart. Nothing's here. I'm trying my best. Stop hopping. Oh, well, it must be someplace else. Okay, right away.
Leave a nickel, Buster.
Huh? Oh, Regan.
You looking for something?
You, Pilgrim.
What else?
Plymouth Rock.
Come on, punk, level it.
It coax me.
All right, Nick, as you've been trying for this. Now, flatten out. Well, it felt good to watch the big guy fall. He folded in like a steeple in an earthquake. When his head bounced on the Lion's carpet, I figured he was due for a long sleep, so I went through his pockets. Ticket stubs from the prize fights, the gun, and a pocket knife I dumped into the safe. It was a pass to the Don's game on November 25th. He must have swiped that from his boss, so I filed that in the Lion's desk for future reference. But this guy Phelps had taken orders from somebody besides Hendricks. I just heard him do it on the phone. So when I turned up an old envelope with 832 North Palm, scratched in the back, I crossed my fingers. He'd been calling a Crestview number, and the phone book said that I had a lead. North Palm was in the Crestview Exchange area. So I called for the cops to sweep up Brother Phelps, and I climbed back onto my broomstick. I drove out through Beverly Hills. I wound up in front of a big Spanish house with potted $10 bills on the driveway. There was a new Nash sticking out of the garage, and I walked around to take a look. But Honest John had beat me to it.
Who's there?
Now stick around. I want to talk to you.
Stand back.
You like cars, don't you? Maybe you want a hot rod.
No, you don't. Get away from me.
Hey. Well, it was the little turkey fan that I'd last seen in an overcoat. Phelps' buddy. He took out of there like a cow in deer season, so I let him go. No license. Well, I took a look around the car he'd been sniffing, but nothing showed except the registration. It said Mrs. Agnes Hendricks. I went to the house and rang the doorbell, and she answered.
Oh, what's you? I'm Mr. Regan.
All right, I'll ask myself in.
Yes, come in.
Who are you expecting, John Alden?
No, I'm glad to see you.
No, I don't like girls who break dates.
Oh, that?
Yeah, that's one thing.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't wait for you to come all the way to Calabasas.
You got impatient on account of a body in the house.
You saw him?
Yeah, after I tripped over him in your room.
I didn't do it.
Did I say you did?
You've got to believe me.
Relax. I look like a jury. You got multiple vision.
Oh, Mr. Regan, I was so frightened. I didn't know which way to turn.
We've been through all that woman driver routine. You don't like your husband. You wanted to get rid of him.
But only in Reno.
All right, now let's get back to page one. You gave 250 G's to a jeweler named Kelly. You bought a rock.
What?
A rock, Plymouth rock. It's a diamond. It's got to be.
Well,
why'd you do it? Who'd you buy it for?
Myself. My lawyer said I should get it for myself, that's all.
He likes you pretty, huh?
No. It was a community property thing. He said I could keep my husband from knowing how much money I had when he asked for a divorce settlement.
Only hubby got wind of the deal.
I guess so.
Well, you're making sense. Only why did he write a check to Kelly?
Well, it was a small one. It must have been for a paste imitation, don't you think?
It's not my business. Keep dealing.
I mean, maybe he planned on switching them and getting my real one.
That's been done.
He actually did it. Because all through this, there's been a diamond in the place where I always keep it.
All right, you got a strong boy, Phelps. Had him out looking for the real diamond.
What?
And the other guy, the old man, was out in the garage.
No.
Phelps tore up my office, phoned here to you.
Mr. Regan,
now look,
please.
There's been two guys killed.
Mr. Regan...
Good evening, Pilgrim.
Where's your overcoat?
Stand still, please.
Yeah, my foot's in a crack.
Mr. Regan, this is John Alden.
Oh, can it, will you? I've seen him act one part already.
That's true. Mine is the only name that's real. This is my house, Mr. Regan.
Lawyer?
Yes, I came here to see him, Mr. Regan. I just got here before you
did. Be quiet, Agnes.
Well, I got it all now.
You won't keep it.
Phelps took his orders from you.
It's a waste of testimony.
You started this. Spotted the gem switch. Figured to cash in.
You're losing your chip.
Shut up, will you? I got aces. Hendricks outfoxed you. You never found a real diamond.
Ivan, a hand draws blood.
Mr. Alden, don't.
Now, you keep out of this, Agnes.
She's not in it. You are.
That's all, Regan.
All right, come on, drop it. Drop it.
Go with that.
I guess I hit him with the paste one.
Huh?
Look, the diamond, it broke.
Yeah.
It was just luck. I have the other one, too. I thought Alden was honest. I came to tell him I found it in my husband's cider.
Well, that tears it. Come on, Priscilla, that docks the Mayflower. Well, the whole thing folded in like an elephant on a pogo stick. Yeah, the lawyer did it all right, both of them. When he spotted what Hendricks was up to with that diamond switch, he moved in, but not for his client. The jeweler, Miles Standish, alias Kelly, got bumped because he was the only one who could tell the real diamond from a phony. But Hendricks got wise to the muscle act, and so he got shot. Well, the lion was real happy the way it worked out. That dame with the nerves wrote him a check. So he invited me out to Thanksgiving dinner. He offered me any part of the turkey that I wanted. I told him, but I got it anyway.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS at the same time next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Written by Larry Roman and Jackson Gillis. Produced by Sterling Tracy. Featured in tonight's story were Mary Lansing, Marvin Miller, Paul Fries, and Paul DeBove. Original music for this program is by Milton Charles. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Actually, this is the Grand Hour. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. That was Jack Webb starring as Jeff Regan, The Pilgrim's Progress, with an original air date, the 20th of November, 1948. Now, that series only ran for the series ran with Jack Webb as Jeff Regan for only about 4 months, and then he left and he started Dragnet. He appeared in a couple of other Pat Novak for Hire and Johnny Madero, Pier 13, prior to Jeff Regan. Anyway, he's a friend of the show, Jack Webb. Let's take a moment, fulfill FCC obligation.
When a Miami man brought home a live turkey for Thanksgiving, he didn't count on making a new friend. In the end, his family couldn't kill the friendly, curious young bird who gobbled back when spoken to. If you got to know a turkey, would you have the heart to hurt him? This Thanksgiving, give a bird a break by serving a vegan feast. Visit PETA.org for tasty free recipes and to order Paul McCartney's favorite Save Turkeys t-shirt.
Yeah. That Paul McCartney t-shirt must be in high demand. Thank you, PETA, for your public service announcement there. Even though the views and opinions expressed in that don't necessarily reflect those of the Grand Hour and or Arthur. Anyway, for the second half of the show, again, cutting the proverbial fruitcake turkey this pre-Thanksgiving, we're going to have a Mel Blanc show. It's actually titled The Mel Blanc Show. This episode is titled Thanksgiving Party. This had an original air date of the 26th of November, 1946. Yeah, on my notes here, I don't know if you listen to them. They're the Jeff Regan, the Pilgrim's Progress. You heard a slight stutter when they got interrogated and said the seriousness of it. I presume that was a live recording. Just an interesting note I pointed out. I noticed. Thanks for listening.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents the Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kern, Jerry Hauser, Hans Conried, Earl Ross, the Sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Dad?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show with Mel playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
It's close to Thanksgiving, and in Mel Blanc's little town, courageous suitors are taking advantage of the holiday spirit to approach prospective fathers-in-law on a delicate subject. In one house where Sam Green has asked Mr. Brown if he may marry his daughter, Mr. Brown is saying,
Sam Green, I'm going to set the date next week.
And in another house where Henry Adams has asked Mr. Jones if he may marry his daughter, Mr. Jones is saying,
Henry Adams, I'm going to make you a junior partner in my firm.
And in the Colby house, where Mel Blanc has asked Mr. Colby if he may marry his daughter, Betty, Mr. Colby is saying,
Mel Blanc, I'm going to break every bone in your body!
So now, it's Thanksgiving Eve, and in order to get in Mr. Colby's good graces again, Mel Blanc is holding a Thanksgiving party in his fix-it shop. He has invited a few of his friends for Thanksgiving dinner. Right now, we find Mel and his girl, Betty, setting the table. Knife, plate, fork. Knife, plate, fork. Knife, fork.
Mel, those were the last two plates. Now what do you do?
Oh, don't worry. Knife, piece of plate, fork. Knife, piece of plate, fork. Gosh, what a beautiful table.
Yes, there's a celery stalk, stuffed olives, candied yams, cranberry sauce, all the fixings.
And in the center, that great big beautiful 15-pound salami.
But now, Father will be awfully mad. He's expecting turkey.
Oh, I took care of that. I scooped out the center of the salami and I stuffed it with chestnut dressing. And besides, Betty, what difference does it make, salami or turkey? It's the spirit of Thanksgiving that counts.
But, Mel...
Anyway, the orphan's home needed the turkey much more than I did.
Oh, darling, I love you for giving the turkey to the orphan's home. You always were a softie for children.
Well, Betty, you know how I feel about us. Someday we'll get married and we'll have a little two-room house.
Yes. Then after a while, we'll add another room.
Betty, I refuse to have your father live with us.
Darling, I mean children. After we get married, there's no reason why we can't have three, four, or five.
Yeah, and if we like them, the next year we'll have some more.
Well, if Dad gets mad at you for not having turkey, I'm going to tell him why.
Oh, that's another thing, Betty. I don't want you to tell your father anything. Don't tell anybody. I did it. I'm glad I did it, but I don't have to advertise it.
Ah, that's the nicest thing I ever heard, darling. For that, I'm going to give you a great big kiss. Well, now say something.
Such a kiss for a 15-pound turkey?
Yes.
Gosh, I wish it had been 50 pounds. Well, if it isn't our lodge secretary, Earl Ross. Hey, how you feeling, Brother Ross?
Ah, potato salad.
Oh, yeah, Betty made it. Say, why don't you try some?
Well, just a small plate. I don't want to spoil my appetite. Mmm. Delicious. Pass the olives, Mel. No, not the green ones. The pitch or the green ones.
Why don't you have another sandwich?
No, thanks. I've already had two.
You've already had four, but who's counting? Come on, have another one.
Oh, here comes Father Mel.
Say, who's that fellow with him?
Oh, that's Willie Murdoch. Father just hired him to manage the supermarket. He's rather nice.
Rather nice? Betty, have you gone out with him?
Well, Father insisted that I go to the movies with him last night.
You and Willie at the movies? Dark places? Betty, why didn't you tell me?
Well, darling, it's Thanksgiving, and I didn't want to upset you. Now, you be nice to him.
Hello, Mel.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Colby.
Oh, Mel, I want you to meet my new manager, William Murdoch.
Hello, Mr. Murdoch.
Hello, Blank. Heard a lot about you from Mr. Colby. Don't want to get you down.
Willie, this is Mr. Ross, secretary of our Loyal Order of Benevolent Zebras. Mr. Ross is a very good friend of mine.
Oh, well, Mr. Colby, any good friend of yours is a good friend of mine. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Ross.
As you must be.
This is a very nice fix-it shop you got here, Blank, but I've got a couple of ideas to improve it. First of all, it's too stuffy in here.
Well, it could use a little air conditioning.
Blank, you can't condition this air. You got to get rid of it. And next, you take down that picture of the city dump on the wall.
Murdoch, that's no picture. You're looking through the window.
Oh, I see Miss Colby is unattached. Better go over and attach myself. Get it?
Thanksgiving. Why couldn't the Pilgrim Fathers have landed on him?
Oh, it's Zookie. Hello, Zookie. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Zookie.
Oh, hello.
Betty.
Thanks.
Say, how do you like my new dress, Zookie?
Oh, gosh, Betty, you're the most beautiful. You're the quintessence of lovely. You're the acme of perfect.
Oh, by the way, Zookie, I got a letter from my cousin Dottie and a new picture of her. Here, look. Cousin Dottie is so shy and sweet and coy. What do you think of her bathing suit? Zookie, can I get you a little something before dinner? What would you like?
I'd like some potato here. I'd like some some candy there. You get your I'd like that picture of Dottie.
Say, Betty, did you know that Mel invited us here for Thanksgiving dinner and there's no turkey?
Well, you're right, Mr. Colby. Mel invited us for Thanksgiving dinner and there's no turkey.
Why, Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving without turkey.
That's exactly my thought, Mr. Colby. Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving without turkey.
This guy can easily be replaced with a sheet of carbon paper.
I tell you, this is preposterous. Zookie, where's Mel?
Oh, he went back to the kitchen.
Oh. Well, I want to talk to him. And Murdoch, Willie,
You take care of Betty.
Oh, well, if you say so, Mr. Colby. Anything you say goes, Mr. Colby. I'm your boy, Mr. Colby. You know you can count on me, Mr. Colby.
Mel is in a jam again. I got to go and explain everything to you. I got to go and warn you. I got to go in the tip of my oars. I got to go.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
No dates for you this festive season? Could a breath of trouble be the reason? Maybe, because that breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, has brought unhappiness to thousands. Don't let it mark you down. Just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing, and remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Now, Victor Miller, the sportsman, and their holiday arrangement of Good Night, Ladies.
Good night, ladies, we're gonna leave you now. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep blue sea, o'er the deep blue sea. Farewell, ladies.
Goodbye.
So long.
Good night.
Toodaloo.
Farewell, ladies.
Goodbye.
So long.
Good night.
Toodaloo. Farewell, ladies. For we're gonna leave you now. Merrily, merrily, we roll along. Merrily, merrily, we roll along. Merrily, merrily, we roll along o'er the deep blue sea.
Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep blue.
Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep.
Well, Mel Blanc is giving a Thanksgiving party in his fix-it shop to get in the good graces of his girl's father, Mr. Colby. But so far, everything is going wrong. Mr. Colby is mad because there's no turkey. Willie Murdoch, the new supermarket manager, is making a play for Mel's girl. Right now, the party is in full swing, but we find Mel disconsolately talking to Betty's kid brother, Tommy, in a corner of the shop.
Boy, is my dad sore at you, Mel.
Yeah, Tommy, and I gave this party just to make an impression on him. What can I do to please your father?
Mel, I know something you can do that'll surely please him.
You do? What is it?
No, you're too young to die. Well, anyway, my pop is mad at you for having salami instead of a turkey at this party.
Yeah, I know.
Mel, why don't you tell my pop you gave the turkey to the orphan's home?
Now, you keep out of this, Tommy. The reason I'm not saying anything is because this year, your father forgot to give them a turkey himself. And if I said anything about it, it would only embarrass him.
Oh.
Oh, Mel, here comes our lodge president, Mr. Cushing. Oh.
Good, I'll go over and welcome him.
Holiday greetings, Brother Blank. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga. How are things?
Wonderful. Happiest Thanksgiving I ever had.
Well, where's the wife?
Home in bed with laryngitis. Happiest Thanksgiving I ever had.
Gee, that's too bad. How's she feeling?
Darn that penicillin.
Say, how did she get laryngitis?
Well, Mel, we went to the UCLA-USC football game. Little woman went completely berserk, kept screaming her head off.
She did?
Yeah, well, the first opportunity she ever had to yell at 22 men all at once.
You mean now she can't talk at all?
Not a word. She just lies there in bed and hisses. Empty the garbage pail, shake out the carpet sweeper, clean up the kitchen. I wish she wouldn't tell me what to do.
I have my own system for doing the housework. Gosh, Mr. Cushing, it must be tough living with your wife.
Mel, if you only knew. Last night we went out and she said, "Look at me, John, I'm dressed up to kill." Gad, what a temptation. I tell you, Mel, I'd leave that woman in a minute if she didn't have all that money. I don't know why I'm standing here telling you all this. It's just that I've done it all in the doctor.
Oh, cheer up, Mr. Cushing. When you get your wife a Christmas present, everything will be okay.
Well, she's already hinted about a present. She wants some beauty aid. Ha!
Now, Mr. Cushing, after all, beauty is only skin deep.
Mel, she's already been peeled. The nerve of that woman. She asked me for a beauty makeup kit.
Well, what are you going to get her?
With her face, a box of Dr. Scholl's foot pads. Nothing helped that woman, Mel.
Well, I have to let you in for another disappointment, mighty potentate. Hmm? I haven't any turkey.
What a relief.
You're happy not to see a turkey?
Mel, are you forgetting? I've been looking at my wife all day. Well, on to the party. Oh, I see Brother Colby here. Greetings, Brother Colby. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Oh, greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
And there's Brother Ross. Greetings, Brother Ross. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo, pass us all. Ugga.
And little Tommy. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga.
All right, Mr. Cushing, all right. Hmm.
Well, I'm sorry. Sort of run away with Margaboon, huh?
All right, come on, everybody. Let's all have fun. Does anybody want to hear me impersonate Charles Boyer? All right, I'll sing a song.
Anybody hear the story about the cop in Brooklyn?
Shall I sing now?
You've never heard this story before.
Is it about the cop finding the dead horse on Kosciuszko Avenue?
Uh-huh.
And he can't say Kosciuszko, so he moves the horse to Main Street? Shall I sing now?
No! I'll tell another one, and I know you don't know this story. A fellow was having soup in a restaurant, and he called over the head waiter. "See here, sir," he exclaimed. "There's a fly in this soup." What do you think the head waiter said?
Did he say, "What do you want for a dime, an elephant?"
Yes, I wish you'd dropped dead. I'll try one more story now.
All right, everybody quiet now. Mr. Colby's going to try one more story. Go ahead, Mr. Colby. Everybody keep quiet.
Thanks, Myrtle. Well, it seems a man in a restaurant called the waitress over and said, "My cocoa is cold." "Well," replied the waitress, "if your cocoa is cold, put your hat on it."
Oh, very funny. Very, very funny.
Shall I sing now, Mr. Colby?
I've had enough from you, Mel Blanc. You've ruined my entire evening.
His entire evening.
Father, let's...
And you've got a nerve inviting people to a Thanksgiving party and not even having any turkey.
And not having any turkey.
But, Father...
Hey, when do we eat? I'm starved.
Is that a good idea? Come on, Father, let's eat.
No, all right.
Okay, everybody, sit down now.
There's a fine Thanksgiving. This food looks wonderful. No home cooking.
Well, everybody seated?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. I'll carve the salami. Who wants a leg?
I do.
I do. I do.
Everybody wants a leg. I should have gotten an octopus.
I'd rather have turkey. Colby, will you stop? Everyone knows salami is much safer than turkey. Safer?
Yes, no bones.
Oh.
Well, Tommy, what part do you want?
I want the part that goes over the counter last.
And how about you, Brother Ross?
Well, I don't know. I'm losing my appetite. Just give me the dark meat.
The salami is all dark meat.
That's what I said. Just give me the dark meat. Oh, Murdoch.
Huh? What part do you want?
I always let Mr. Colby choose first.
All right, Mr. Colby, what part would you like?
Oh, this has gone too far. I refuse to sit here and be made a fool of.
Oh, but Mr. Colby... Oh,
now, this can't go on any longer. I'm going to tell Father.
Betty, please.
Well, tell me why.
Why we haven't any turkey tonight.
Oh, come in.
Is Mr. Blank here?
I'm Mel Blank, little boy.
Mr. Blank, I'm from the orphan's home. I brought you a piece of your turkey.
You did?
Yes. It tasted so good, all the boys wanted you to have some. They wanted me to tell you how much they appreciated you remembering them on Thanksgiving Day.
Gee, thanks.
They also asked me to give a message from all the boys at the home. You mind if I give it?
No, no, go ahead.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Mel Blank, Mel Blank, hooray!
Thanks a lot.
So long, Mr. Blank.
So long.
Gee, wasn't that sweet?
Mel, you gave your turkey to the orphanage? Oh, why didn't you tell us about it?
Well, you're right again, Mr. Colby. Mel Blank, why didn't
you... Oh, shut up!
Well, Mel, he didn't want to tell you because you forgot to give your turkey this year.
What? Well, I always give a turkey to the orphanage. In fact, I told Willie Murdoch... Murdoch, didn't you deliver that?
Mr. Colby, it slipped my mind.
Oh, it did. Murdoch, come here. I'm going to break every bone in your body.
Quiet, everybody. Mr. Colby's going to break every bone in his body. Gee, it sounds good on somebody else. Oh, forget it, Mr. Colby. It's Thanksgiving. Let's forgive.
Yes, you're right, Mel.
Yeah, let's forgive and let's eat.
All right, here. Sit next to me, Mel, my son.
Thanks, Pop.
Nothing like the smell of salami on Thanksgiving.
You see, Betty, it's like I said. What difference does it make, salami or turkey? It's the spirit of Thanksgiving that counts.
Mel Blank will be back in just a minute.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
You notice it quickly enough in others, but you seldom suspect it in yourself. That's the insidious thing about that breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. So ask yourself if you could be a victim. Then let Colgate Tooth Powder help you. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
This is Mel Blank saying happy Thanksgiving, and that's all, folks.
He's been reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath of sweet and keep the sparkle brings you the Mel Blank Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure and join us again next Tuesday night for more.
That was Thanksgiving Party, the Mel Blanc Show. An original air date of the 26th of November, 1946. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening live, Julian is up next with Sound Slaking. Thanks. See you next week. All right, everyone.